All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And we're talking about the one-year anniversary of Ukraine. Let's go to the phone lines in Sherman. Hey, Sherman, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You hey. Say what?
Hey, Earl. Hey, Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's interesting. I don't know if you guys remember. I called in last week.
Yeah, I remember. I remember. We know who you are.
Yeah. You know. Okay. And, you know.
Have your thoughts changed?
I like what Steve. Yes. Yeah, no.
Okay, go ahead.
As a matter of fact, the events of this week reinforce what I was saying.
For instance, know, what events? What
I'm
events?
At what Sandy. Just the fact that China now has went to Moscow, or Putin came there, whichever happened, and now they have just let it be known that they're going to back Russia. This is the same thing I was saying last
week.
That's
not what they said.
Huh?
That's not what they said.
What did they say?
As a matter of fact, this morning, here's in Wall Street Journal this morning, China made a fresh call for ceasefire and peace talks to end the war in Ukraine.
Okay, wait a minute, Earl. Hold it. Yeah, China did that because they want to lock in the gains that Russia has.
China urges into Ukraine. You're correct. They go ahead.
Okay, and China know that's a red herring. Ukraine ain't going to go for that. China know that. Russia know that. They made that perfectly clear. You're not going to take a fourth of those people's country and then turn around and say, now let's do a ceasefire.
Well,
it's worth dying for, man.
Incidentally,
these
though.
People are going to die for their country, man.
Incidentally, though, the fourth.
Wait, just a minute.
The fourth of the country that Russia has taken, as you described it, that was accomplished in 2014, and it was accomplished in a matter of days because there was no defense put up by Ukraine, and there was no objection filed by the international world about it. And while there hasn't been a recognition yet by the world of the annexation of Crimea, this is something that happened in 2014. The invasion, this recent invasion, is not the way that land was annexed by Russia. And so what we're talking about is something that happened some while ago, and what was the negotiation that was being pursued by Russia before the invasion was to get a recognition of the status of that land. And right now, while you say that land all belongs to Ukraine and should be recovered, we should understand that Secretary of State Blinken just probably 10 days ago admonished Ukraine and the world that it was his view and the American view that Crimea was a red line for Putin. And he was basically telling Ukraine that they should not focus resources or effort on reclaiming the Crimea, because that was going to be a war and an undertaking that America didn't have a stomach for.
Sure.
Now, can I talk?
Yeah, go
sure.
ahead.
Okay, now, all of that, what you said, Sandy, as far as I'm concerned, that's all Putin propaganda. Because, first of all, if you want to go back before when the Soviet Union dissolved back in the early 90s, okay, that was the Soviet Union. That was not Russia, okay? The Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact, was Ukraine was a part of the Warsaw Pact.
No.
It wasn't a part of Russia.
No, that isn't
true.
Wait, just a minute. Just so we get factually correct. The Warsaw Pact were the countries of Eastern Europe, Poland, Romania, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, East Germany. The Ukraine was a part of the Soviet Union. It was a part of the Soviet Union. It was the Ukrainian Republic in the Soviet Union, and the Crimea and the Donbas regions were a part of the Russian Federation until 1954, when the boundaries were changed. But that's okay. Now go ahead.
So Sherman, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, see, that's red herring, man. See, you putting all that out man, to defend your position.
No, so hang on.
Wait a minute, Earl. Now let me talk. Okay, if I can make my point,
I'm going to let you make your point. I'm going to let you make your point. Go ahead.
Okay, he talking about the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was not Russian. Russia was Russia. The Soviet Union developed after World War II as a weight to NATO.
Okay, so
you're talking about two different countries.
I know, so let me ask you this, man. Let me ask you this. With all of the history lessons that we're talking about right now, the question becomes whether or not the American people are willing to put their treasures and their lives on the line for this. That's the real issue. That's the real question. The history of it, you know, all of that, you know. But is that something you think the American people are willing to send their children to Ukraine and their treasure to fight this war?
Okay, now let me answer your question. Have the Ukrainians asked any American troops?
Nobody.
They asked for weapons. They asked for weapons, man. See what I'm saying? No, wait a minute, Earl. Now every time I start talking, one of y'all cut me off.
Go ahead. I'm letting you speak.
Okay, you keep saying that, but then you keep cutting me off.
Go ahead. I'm letting you speak.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. The Ukrainians asked for weapons. Okay, we have a treaty with Poland. Poland ain't going to allow Russia to take Ukraine. So if Poland get in it, we're going to be in it anyway. If NATO in it, we're going to be in it anyway. See what I'm saying? Neville Chamberlain in 1936 tried to appease Hitler. It didn't work. What y'all talking about is appeasement again. Freedom ain't free.
Freedom ain't free, man.
And I think the American people have shown with their support now that they will back trying to achieve their freedom.
Hey, Sherman, let me say this to you. There are people all over the world trying to achieve their freedom, and the United States is not engaged in it to that degree. So when you make those statements like you make, as if this is where we drop down our buckets and this is where we're willing to die, that's not going to happen, because the other part of this, man, is the majority of the American people do not see it from that perspective. They do not want and those resources that continue to go to Ukraine at a time when the American people, many of them, are suffering. They are pushing back on that as we speak. Because to take the resources that the American people aren't getting themselves to continue to spend them elsewhere is going to be a major problem that you know, you and others don't see.
Well, let me I want to get into some of the details here too, because the NATO alliance says that we will defend people who are attacked. So if Poland were to decide to send troops into Russia, the danger would be that Russia would attack Poland and Polish military resources in Poland because they were at war with Poland. But that same danger would exist if the United States put troops in the ground. You understand that we fought wars so far that were isolated to foreign lands because we were fighting people who were not in a position to launch attacks on military bases, for instance, in the United States. But you understand, under even international law, were the United States to get into a war with Russia and have troops on the ground in a war directly with Russia and to declare war with Russia, and presumably committing troops to Ukraine would require a declaration of war by Congress. I'm confident that no president would feel he had the opportunity and the right to do this simply by presidential fiat. Were we to declare war on Russia, you understand that military bases, Fort Benning, Fort Lewis, the military the production facilities in the United States that produce military facilities, all of those would be valid targets for attack by someone we were at war with, just like those same kind of installations in Russia would be valid targets for us in an attack. You understand what that means, what we're talking about now. And we're not talking about just a nice ground war in Ukraine, in which, like happened in Vietnam, even though it came to a terrible end. And in Vietnam, incidentally, people were just as emotional as you are right now about defending the rights of the Vietnamese to avoid oppression by the communists. And incidentally, Russians are not communists, number one. Number two, we found out after the war that there wasn't oppression that was going to happen to the Vietnamese people in the circumstance of a reunification. And in fact, Vietnam is a country that we are very comfortable with right now, and the populace of which is very comfortable within the government that they now reside, which is the communist government. And so we have to be careful, I think, about how we think about things, how we talk about things, and what the bottom line is for America if we carry out and follow our heart. Because I've told you, if in my heart, I don't disagree with a lot of the things you said, but in my mind and in my looking at this from the standpoint of American interest and world interest and world peace, I think what you're talking about is fraught with a horrible outcome. Horrible.
All right, Clint, Sherman, you got the last couple minutes. Quickly.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Now, listen, first of all, Sandy, you're a very condescending person, man.
Go ahead, man.
You know, I have to say
Sandy,
that, okay?
I mean, Sherman, respond. You got a couple minutes left.
Okay.
Make your point.
Okay, good deal. First of all, I'm going to make my point. Now, first of all, I am a small D Democrat. Okay, you talk to me like you know.
Okay, so hold on. No, Sherman.
Sherman, stop.
Hold on. Sherman, bring him down. Sherman, I don't. Look, you had a couple minutes. We got to get through this and give you a chance not to respond to Sandy, but we're talking about the issue of whether or not the United States, and we don't want to lose sight of whether or not the United States it should be engaged in this. I'm going to give you a couple another chance. Let's get beyond that. What do you want to say?
Wait, I do want to just defend myself 1 minute here.
But Sandy, we're going straight to a break, and now we've got to go to a break.
Okay.
So Sherman, got to go to a break. Sandy, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. So to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Dan again from Racine. Hey, Dan, quickly.
Hi, Dan. I'm a recovering Republican.
Yes, sir.
There's two important things that people are forgetting. Ukraine used to be a nuclear power. And the United States gave Ukraine assurance that if they gave up their nuclear weapons, that we would assist them if Russia ever invaded, number one. Number two, all the annexed parts of Ukraine are full of high-quality oil. Russia knows that. Ukraine knows that. And it's not being talked about in the media in general. If it is, it's usually a one-line item that nobody really catches. But I think the bigger picture in all of this is that, number one, if the United States was to back off now, the entire European Union would collapse. And what I mean by that is if we do not keep our word and be a united front against what's happening here in Ukraine, I don't think that at the end of the day, Russia is going to be hurt very much by any of this at all, number one. Number two, Putin, irregardless if there was a peace agreement on the table today and they say, okay, you keep what you got, Ukraine, the rest of that is yours. Okay, let's just say that happens today. Putin is not going to be the president of Russia for very long. Have you listened to his latest speech? He's a rambling person that is making absolutely no sense. He is being challenged in every corner from his own people. So how can we as a country think about 5 years from now or 10 years from now? What happens if NATO collapses just like before World War II, and we are in a ground war? Hey, we are in another world war.
Hey, Dan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ. CJ, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. You said what got us here. Again, Sandy conveniently forgets the lie that General Milley, September 21st, 2021, National Public Radio, Joint Chief of Staff General Mark Milley and U.S. Commander General McKenzie both advised Commander cut and run Biden not to go to zero. Trump wanted to go to zero. He listened to his advisors.
Well, what do you mean go to zero?
He's talking about Afghanistan and the withdrawal.
Oh, man, we're not talking about Afghanistan, man. We're talking about Ukraine.
And we aren't even talking about the cause of the Ukrainian war. We're talking about the situation now and what we should do about it. So do you have something to talk about there?
13 soldiers died, Ben. You want to just brush over that?
That has nothing to do. All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Thanks for waiting, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. And we must never forget this. I definitely, you know, I'm not in favor of the military-industrial complex of any kind. I think what it really comes down to is we have to look at, is Putin another Hitler? Or is Putin just another, you know, like Vietnam type thing? It seems to me that those two things have got to be, you know, looked at, because there's a lot of people who are anti-war, which I am, but I'm also looking at it and seeing that Putin is definitely losing steam from the people of Russia in terms of his approval ability to stay in office.
You know, people can say that about Joe Biden, Tom. You know,
no,
people can say the same thing.
And the thing, what I'm saying, I guess, is that. I'm having a hard time with it because I know that Putin was the first one that actually shot a grade school teacher in the head, and that's what kind of kicked this whole thing off in terms of starting this whole combat. And also the fact that, again, you have to look at it in terms of, okay, is he another Hitler, or is this another, you know, Vietnam-type thing, and do we get marred in this thing? It makes me angry because I'm so against the military-industrial complex, and I think because of George War Criminal Bush, you know, we've been lied into wars. You know, CJ talks about being lied into wars. My God, that Afghanistan war was a lie, and that Iraq war was a lie. So you got the little boy that cried wolf, so now people don't, you know, they're very skeptical in terms of what the heck is really going on. And are we doing it just for the military-industrial complex? Maybe what we ought to do is we should say no war profiteering on anything that we're sending over there. Maybe that would, you know, shine a little more light on what's going on. Anyway, I just think that that's one of the major things is, you know, who is Putin? Is he another Hitler, or is he not someone?
We've got to go to a break. Karina, hang on, and others, 844-967-2789. We'll come back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. We'll keep on spending sunny days this way. We're gonna talk and laugh our time away. I feel it coming closer day by day.
The sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea.
You remember that? All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Karina. How you doing, Karina? You say what?
Well, first of all, you people got to have some history facts straight, and I'm talking to the callers, because otherwise nothing you say makes sense.
Now, so just so people know, you are a Russian who is Russian American. Okay, so you've been in this country for over 20 years, so you know a little bit about what you speak. Go ahead.
So, USSR exists as of 1917. Nothing to do with the World War II. SOPAC was a World War II decision. That's for the caller who was saying that the Russia was all alone before World War II. Never happened. Okay? Second, Putin is completely adequate and very much so capable a ruler. And I don't understand how people who doesn't speak Russian actually capable of knowing how well and articulate Putin is. The agreement what USA continuously interrupt with Russia as it was in 1991, where they wouldn't approach the country between Germany and the Russia, is interrupted all the time. And more countries going into NATO, as well as America trying to interrupt the agreement with the whole China. So this is what America does. It pick and choose what the policy or economical or business or whatever reason there is to go to another country, claim for freedom and democracy, and then come out of this country even more destroyed than it was before. So I don't see the reason why America needs to be on this side of the world. Why is it mixing up everything in the policies and contract and agreement? They step up from their own, not holding their world at all. So for this matter, I think we, because I am American, we shouldn't give our money or weapon to a country which already been pronounced as the most corrupt country by U.S. and EU before. And now even they already have an investigation of saying and asking Ukrainian government to at least give them some sort of statement on what they do with money. So now we as American taxpayers paying for Ukrainian corrupt government exists and sending their children to Europe and America, their family, they have a vacations, they live a life for our money. And I can read it in two languages.
So, Karina,
in Russian and in English.
Karina, hang on a second. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I think the broader picture, I mean, that she paints the picture that is that is the factual evaluation of it, particularly through Russian eyes. But the fact is that there are facts here that we should evaluate from a much more dispassionate way than Americans evaluate things. We should evaluate the things our government does and to evaluate what impact it has in the world. We should evaluate what our government does and what it causes other governments to do, because there's no question that the Taiwan problem is becoming more difficult and more provocative as the result of American conduct, not necessarily Chinese. China is in many respects reacting to the conduct of Americans, visits by Nancy Pelosi, visits by
Congress,
by now Mike Gallagher, this fellow from Wisconsin. Northern Wisconsin. But before that, many other steps. And the same is true with respect to the disproportionate interest of America in Ukraine, which was the result in many respects from all the money that Ukrainian private interests were spending in American politics and causing America to focus its attention on it. There is no question, factually, that Ukraine is at the very top of the list of countries that are plagued by corruption and deep-seated corruption. It was the subject, in fact, of the phone call, the famous phone call between Trump and Zelensky. And there is obviously great reason to be concerned about the billions of dollars, not just weapons, that have been sent to Ukraine as to terms of how it's been utilized and what pockets it's going into. And there are now those in Congress who want to pursue all that. But all of this begs the question of where it is that this can go. I have a sense of emotional bravado. I read the paper and hope that Ukraine is winning the battles that are waged. But with respect to the American interest and what we ought to be doing, where is it headed? Even where is it headed for the Ukrainian people? Where will the Ukrainian people come out? We aren't going to put boots on the ground. Even if Poland puts boots on the ground, it won't be NATO. It is true that it should be evaluated. Is Putin likely to become a Hitler? The fact is that if it's evaluated, everyone understands that the world is so different now, that NATO is, in fact, not less unified but more unified than it was. If Putin were to step foot in an invasion into NATO, he understands what he would be up against. We have, by Congress, committed ourselves by treaty to throw our blood and treasure and boots into that battle. He understands that. So, you know, we can paint this picture of a Hitler, but there's no reason to believe on any sort of factual analysis basis that that's what we're dealing with, okay? And were we to deal with it, we can deal with it on that day. We don't need to precipitate that day by putting our boots on the ground in Ukraine if we don't have that interest. And we don't. And we've announced that we don't. So, we speak with bravado, but we should speak with a cold heart, and we should speak with a cold mind about what it is that's best for the people everywhere and the people of America. And I simply believe that when we step back that far and get rid of emotions, we will look at it analytically and realize that this is not going to play out in any fashion that's satisfactory if it turns into a military conquest battle, whether the Ukrainians win or whether the Russians win. There is no victory that will be satisfactory to the world and to America.
You know, Sandy, I just, in simplest terms, do not understand why we are talking as if America needs to be the defense mechanism for this, and that we need to be the ones who are going to make the determination that Russia will not defeat Ukraine. That is not our issue. And whether or not people can say, well, it's, you know, if we don't stop Putin, like they keep saying he's going to be the next Hitler, there's nothing pointing to that.
Well,
nothing.
The facts don't play out that suggest that would be a reality, number one. Number two, Russia, after a war with Ukraine in which it succeeds because we don't help them, will not be more powerful and more capable of overtaking the NATO nations. It will be less capable and less able and more distracted by a guerrilla war that they will continue to have to wage in Ukraine. If they win it by conquest, they have bought 100 years of guerrilla warfare with Ukrainian nationalists. They have no interest, really, in biting off that piece of the apple, I'm sure. And so people just need to step back and say, let's look at this from a rational standpoint. Let's look at it critically. And we should understand that we aren't going to make a dire outcome for the world more likely by moving Ukraine in the direction of negotiating a peace.
Karina, quickly.
Well, I just want to add, you know, if people don't agree, they don't have to call Sandy condescending. He's just quietly trying to explain the fact. That's it.
All right. Karina, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. You know, after this is all said and done, we're talking about Ukraine. But here, in today's Wall Street Journal, United States to expand troop presence in Taiwan for training against China threat. What are we doing? So now the same people who are saying we need to be defending Ukraine, they'll say that we need to be defending Taiwan too, based on the fact that they'll say China has invaded Taiwan. It's the same principle based on what I'm hearing people say about why we need to go in and fight this battle with Russia. Are they going to say the same thing about China? Well, the difference is, and the major difference is, we've got troops on the ground in Taiwan, and we're training with those troops because they're talking about training against the threat from China. I mean, this whole way of reasoning and thinking, Sandy is going to lead the nation down a path, and it's great that the citizens themselves aren't getting to make these calls, because if they did, we'd be at war with Ukraine, we'd be at war with China, Russia and China. And what would be the outcomes of those things?
Well, and with respect to China, you know, we should look back. If people point at and want to look at the 1979 congressional action that did amount to something like a treaty in which we recognized a one-China policy. And in that same thing, we did say that we would offer support and defense to China, not our own defense. We would support them in their defense were they to be attacked by China. But implicit in that was a promise on our part that we would honor the one China policy and that we would not essentially move to change the status quo with respect to the one China policy that is the premise for Taiwan's existence vis-a-vis China. China basically, and the world recognizes that Taiwan is a part of China. It is now currently operating under a more autonomous government than the rest of China, much the way Hong Kong was. But we're the one playing with the status quo in Taiwan. The status quo was that Taiwan was as it was without substantial armament. We continue to arm Taiwan. We continue to now add fuel to what is a movement developing in Taiwan called a separatist movement. Well, it's only called separatist because the people of Taiwan recognize that they're currently part of China. And that separatist movement really didn't get started until 2019. And there are plenty of people, leading business people in Taiwan, who want to remain a part of China, don't want to rattle that cage because it's a fundamental part of the Taiwanese economy. So it isn't simple, okay? Steve wanted to make it, says that it's simple, it's not complicated. No, it's not simple, it is complicated.
You know, after it's all said and done, it requires not just leading with the heart, right? I mean, clearly there are people who, and you can tell the emotion from them, that's exactly kind of what it is, those people, those poor people.
Well, the heart, we tend to lead with our heart, and we always talk about democracy. But, you know, we talk about forms of government as if we have the right to determine what form of government other people ought to choose. We aren't doing much about the change in the form of government in Hungary or Poland, where they're moving substantially towards autocracy. And quite frankly, the form of government in Vietnam seems very satisfactory to the Vietnamese, but it is communism.
Yeah. All right, listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
People walking above under the boardwalk. To be falling in love under the boardwalk.
It's a beautiful morning.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And, Sandy, maybe that's what we all need to do, go outside and get a little fresh air.
Well, you know, this is a heated conversation, but I think it should be heated conversation because it's really, really important stuff. And I think it's important that there be that if there are different sides of it to discuss, that we ought to discuss it, and we all ought to think about it in depth, because this is fundamentally exceedingly important, all right? And like I've said before, and I don't mean it to be condescending to say I'm thinking with my – when I think with my heart, I definitely think on the side of the Ukrainians. But heart thinking doesn't get us to the end of the game here, and it doesn't evaluate the processes that we have in play and what it is that we should be doing, okay? Because, you know, our heart would have reached out to the people of Cambodia and saved them from Pol Pot. Our heart would have done a lot of things that we don't do. And the reasons why the country doesn't do them is because we can't do everything everywhere. And so then the question is, if we can't do everything everywhere, what should we do and where should we do it?
You know, Sandy, I always think to, okay, so our hearts go out to the Ukrainian people, and then I'll say, well, shock and awe. When we bombed Iraq and the Iraqi people, mm-hmm. who had nothing to do with anything, we, the United States government, bombed those people unmercifully. I didn't hear the American people talking about those poor people in Iraq, because we were the ones doing the bombing. And so here's where I have a hard time trying to discern why we pick and choose and determine what the value of different people in different countries. It should be the same. Whether or not the Ukrainian people or the Iraqi people, or in Libya, those people in Libya, we can't pick and choose the value of individual human beings and say, we as Americans, this is where we need to lay down our gauntlet.
Well, and we've also, you know, we talk about making sure that people have democracy, and the places where we've performed something that looks like what was called nation building, where we go in to try and change the social, economic, political organization of a country, we have failed inutterably. So in Afghanistan, our hope was that we could export to Afghanistan a stable democratic government, right? We spent 18 years or 20 years there, and we left, and it is less stable, not more. Iraq, same deal. They had a government with
stable,
Saddam Hussein. It was a stable government, not the one we would choose for them, not the one maybe they would choose for themselves exactly. But when we went in and destabilized it, we've left them with a terrible vacuum.
Right.
That is a terrible problem. And now in the process of saving Ukraine, the physical Ukraine and the populace of Ukraine is literally getting destroyed. So the question is, are we ultimately doing good with when we are do-gooders? You know, when we think we're doing good, is that what happens? Is that the outcome from it? And frequently it isn't. And I think more frequently we find out that our do-gooding was maybe just a public revisionist reason for why it was we were actually there. I mean, if we were in Iraq because of oil, we weren't really there to help the people.
Look, the American people, many of us don't know, we're in Yemen right now. We've been in Yemen. We've been bombing the Yemeni people and for almost a decade now. And so we are causing our nation involved and engaged in, I don't know, I think the last time I checked, there's over 100 wars. We don't know it. Nobody tells us. But if you look and find out these skirmishes that we're involved in, it's not always for the best interest of the people in those countries. And so it's always, to me, is why is it our business, right? Well, we're the United States of America. I get that. But you can't be, like you just said, you can't be everywhere. You can't do all these things again. And so, plus you can't sustain it.
Well, you know, we've moved from a world in which there are declarations of war by Congress, and we've only very carefully commit troops to action, to after the advent of the Cold War and the fear of missiles, we gave to the president a fair amount of unilateral power because you couldn't have an active war in time to fire the missile back when one was incoming, right? So we said, well, the president has to have a lot of unilateral powers to deal with emergency situations. That unilateral power has come to the point where it is what is being exercised over and over again to commit ourselves to trillions of dollars of expenditure, tens of thousands of troop losses and casualties, and millions of people injured or killed in the conflict, whether they be our people or other people. So that this isn't a trivial matter, and we aren't currently involved with Ukraine as the result of an act of Congress. We have gotten there based on unilateral acts by various presidents.
You know, Sandy, doesn't matter. It's the one thing, whether we're Democrats or Republicans, that we for the most part, all agree upon, these kind of endeavors. And at some point in time, this has to come to an end. And hopefully, it'll come to an end here in Ukraine, a peaceful end. But it's got to come to an end. You know, we can't be extending it. It's got to come to an end. As the show that just came to an end. Sandy, thank you as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. And welcome to Racine and Kenosha from joining our networks. And thank you, Calvin, for doing a great job, man. I'll see everybody again on Monday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Sunshine caresses each new waking hour.